Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we have raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So let's get to today's guest, who happens to be a multi-returning guest. I appreciate him so much. I love his heart. He's so compassionate. He's so generous. And he is so packed full of knowledge because he went through this journey himself. And so I know that I've shared multiple times before that when I finally got my Lyme diagnosis and I Googled it, this one particular doctor popped up and he truly was the shining light in my darkest days because he gave me hope. And so I'm always honored to have Dr. Bill Rawls back on my show to share all of his information with me. So, Dr. Rawls, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I just always appreciate these conversations with you.
Thank you, Danya. Every opportunity is appreciated, always.
Well, thank you. So today, I want to talk about your Vital Plan Restore protocol because there are many people out there in this journey that may be new or may be struggling with finding a practitioner or being able to find something that is affordable that can help them through this journey. And many people do not know that you have this, I don't know if I want to call it like this preset kind of protocol that people can just go right online and order, and you have amazing resources to help walk them through this journey. And so we're going to take a dive into that. But I know you have a lot of things going on right now and some new information to share. And I, for one, am so excited to hear all about that. So we're going to dive into that first, and then we will go into kind of breaking down the Vital Plan, why you created it, the different products that are in it, what they're for, and just all the good stuff. So that sounds good with you. Let's just dive right into what has been going on in Dr. Rawls's office lately.
I've always got something going on.
You always got something brewing.
I date my recovery kind of I was in the thick of things 20 years ago, and it took about 5 years beyond that to regain my health completely. And I've enjoyed just robust health for the past 15 years, which has been a real blessing. But part of that is just digging deep to truly understand is what is going on and looking out in the world and seeing so many misconceptions about what chronic Lyme disease is and what chronic illness is in general. So I keep digging. And the program that you're referring to is a reflection of that. So we've been helping people in our company for over a decade now. But this new protocol is only a year old, so I'm excited to talk about that. But it's pulling these concepts together, and on many levels, I think many chronic Lyme disease seems to be extremely complicated, and practitioners seem to make it even more complicated than it needs to be. My journey has been different of looking for ways to really simplify it down so people can understand it. So I've always felt that, digging into the science to make the science understandable, I need to make it such that I can explain it to other people in a simple way. And, this past week, I kind of had an aha moment of how to bring this thing together. And so for years, I've been talking about cellular health, right? And I've looked into the characteristics of these microbes being very stealthy, right? So, part of that is your story you mentioned to me before we started this. And most people that I talk to don't remember becoming ill around the tick bite, right? Yeah. In my case, too, I probably picked up the bacteria when I was a kid. And it wasn't until my body was under extreme stress of taking obstetrics call for 20 years without sleeping and all kinds of other stress factors that added up to a perfect storm that I became sick.
Yes. And
So,
I hear it, of all the hundreds of guests I've had on my show, there are so many times that this bacteria, right, is in our body dormant, and
yeah.
it's some type of trauma to our body, physical,
Right.
emotional, that shuts our immunity down and allows things to happen. And it makes perfect sense, right, that the foundation, it's our foundation that we need to fix. It's not necessarily what's attacking it because it's already been in there and your body's been able to fight it off. So
Right.
I'm glad that you have all this scientific knowledge in terminology, on exactly how our bodies work to be able to understand that, because so many people don't get that. But you and I, we've seen it over and over. It's lack of sleep. Like you just said, you worked yourself into the ground, right? You've probably had this forever. And then you allowed your body foundation to just shut down. And then it comes.
So for years, it was, I knew this occurred, and I talked to, hundreds, then later thousands of people with chronic Lyme with a similar story of, picking this thing up, and it had to be in their body without causing illness. And the question was, how does it do that? Why does it do that? And the answer is that different microbes have different strategies. Some of them enter our body, break down the door, make us sick, and try to spread to other hosts as quick as they can, but with us coughing and sneezing. Whereas what these tick-borne microbes do, and quite frankly, many others, when you look at Borrelia, it is one of many, hundreds, maybe even thousands of different microbes that use this exact same strategy. Their goal is not aggression. Their goal is persisting inside your body, and they don't necessarily need to make you sick to do that. And the two main mechanisms is they grow very slowly and they invade cells. And whether you're talking about Borrelia, Babesia, Bartonella, Anaplasma, Mycoplasmas, Chlamydia, on and
The
on
list
and
goes
on,
on.
same thing. I'm finding the same thing reproducible. So, like if you get a cough or a cold, and you get Streptococcus on top of that, and the pneumococcal bacteria starts burying into your lungs. It's growing really fast. It's turning over every 20 minutes, and it can make you really sick. And that's where antibiotics work. Antibiotics depend on fast growth.
Yes.
Borrelia, 20 minutes for pneumococcal bacteria, 12 to 24 hours for Borrelia to turn over. It grows really slowly. Now, that doesn't mean the spirochetes don't move fast. It means it grows slowly. Why does it do that? Because antibiotics don't work very well on it, but more than importantly, it's not a target to the immune system. So it can scurry along through the bloodstream. The immune system picks up some of it. You get bitten by the tick, it recognizes it as soon as it enters your body. Your immune system is after it, but if it's growing so slowly, it's less of a target. So it scurries through the body and it invades cells. And that's the insurance policy. So now Borrelia, it can invade cartilage, the spirochetes can bore all over. Those are the active microbes, but it does this and it ensures its survival. It bores into cells throughout the body and it can go dormant. And it can stay there for a long time. But so can all these other things too. So it basically is able to create this stable reservoir that you don't have symptoms, you don't even know it's there, but it stays there and it can stay there indefinitely. So when your body is stressed, when your cells are stressed, when the cells containing these microbes are stressed, they reactivate. So that's usually stress. And sometimes it can be like a small stress and it's sporadic, but sometimes bigger stresses bring it on. So back to Borrelia, though, it does that. So it can just hang out in your body and then you get bitten by another tick, which is the whole idea. And the tick's saliva circulates in your body. That's a signal for it to reactivate. So that's what's going on, but it's there so it can do that over and over. I mean, think about it. Our ancient ancestors, they got bitten by ticks all the time. So it was part of the life cycle. It didn't want to make you sick. It just wanted to spread to a lot of different hosts. That's how they operate. So you have to think like a microbe, right? So if so, it, you know, so getting rid of this reservoir, antibiotics aren't going to do it. And as long as you're not stressed, though, you're okay. So I
Right.
may still be harboring some of these bacteria and many others in my body. Likely I am, but I've had them, I've been healthy, I've had them suppressed for a decade.
Right. And that's a question that comes up a lot in the community is, do we get rid of Lyme, right? Do we actually get rid of it? Do we go in remission? Does it cure? And I'm with you. I'm sure that I have it somewhere hiding in my body, but it hasn't reared its head in 5 years, right? So,
Right.
but that is stress is what usually brings people out of remission. At least
One
that's what
of,
I
yeah.
see, stress or any type of physical, emotional trauma to the body.
Yeah. So that's actually getting to what I wanted to talk about that I think is really exciting. So not everybody has heard this word, but it's a very, very important word because it brings everything together. And that word is autophagy.
Okay, so let's start with what does that mean? What is the definition of that?
Right. So our body is made of cells. Everything that happens in our body is the act due to the actions of cells, you know, like even our hormones, I mean, our heart beating, everything happens to result from cells. So our cells really work hard. And you can think about them as little biological microscopic machines. And machines wear out, right? Well, the cool thing about our cells compared to our car or our cell phone or anything else is our cells are constantly repairing themselves. So think about it this way. You've got a little alien inside your cells with lots of hands, and the little alien is constantly pulling out misfolded proteins and worn out parts and pulling them out from the cell and throwing it in a garbage can. And the garbage can digests all of that stuff, breaks it down to the basic molecules like carbohydrates and fats and amino acids and reuses it. Our cells are really, really frugal. Well, that process is called autophagy, and it's really important. So, how long do you think your body would last if autophagy disappeared right now?
Not very long.
Give me a guess.
If you had zero of it in your body, I
Right.
would say not more than a month,
Few days. That's
few
it.
days. Okay.
That's how important it is. If you
Wow.
don't have autophagy, your body immediately breaks down. So anything that impairs autophagy is really, really critical to your overall health. And all chronic illnesses, chronic Lyme disease, and every other chronic illness, a key facet of that is impaired autophagy, right? So we talked about the little alien inside that's pulling parts. Well, it can also take microbes and throw them in that garbage can. So autophagy is part of our defense against these microbes. And that's what's going on with Borrelia and Babesia and all of these microbes. developed ways to invade the cell and stay away from autophagy, that garbage can, so they don't get digested, so they just hang out. And when the cell is stressed, when we are overworked, when we're not sleeping, when we're eating bad food, when we're exposed to toxic substances, all of these factors cause our cells to work harder. And autophagy, that process gets stressed. And all of that takes a lot of energy, so it's pulling from our mitochondria and weakening our mitochondria. So I found that one of the signals for those microbes that are dormant inside cells to wake up is when autophagy is impaired and mitochondria are starting to be burned out because they've been the cell has used so much energy. The microbes sense that weakened mitochondria. That's one of the signals for them to waken up. And some of them, and they can actually use autophagy. This is interesting. Borrelia actually uses autophagy to break down the cell to get all the parts for itself so it can use it as food to grow. How's that for interesting?
Really?
Yeah. So autophagy is central to everything. It is.
Wow.
And so everything about your recovery needs to focus on restoring normal autophagy. You want to do things that boost autophagy. You want to avoid things that disrupt autophagy.
And I
That
think just
central
in
thing
to
is more important than anything else in your recovery.
That's so fascinating. And unfortunately, we live in just a toxic environment, right? Like
Right.
the products that are in our home, a lot of our food, environmental, like there's so much toxicity around this world. So we already have so many things working against us. So it's really important that we utilize the things that are going to really boost up this
That's it right
autophagy,
there.
right?
That's it right there. That when you look at conventional medicine, they do a great job at acute intervention, and we need that. When we get that pneumococcal bacteria, we need an antibiotic to fix it. When we get a tumor that's producing abnormal thyroid hormone, we need a fix. We need a surgical thing to remove that little tumor. So our conventional system does a great job at acute intervention, but it does a lousy job of helping people with chronic illness. Because, interestingly, virtually all pharmaceuticals disrupt autophagy. So here, the main impairment with chronic illness is impaired autophagy, and we're giving people therapies that disrupt autophagy. And we wonder why they don't get well, why 70% of the population is sick, you know?
It's
It's kind
a
of
sick
crazy.
world, not a health world, right?
Long-term antibiotic use, especially intravenously, is a severe, severe autophagy disruptor.
Okay. So I am not a fan of antibiotics as for anything actually, but especially for chronic Lyme, right? Like long-term persistent Lyme. So now that we have brought up the antibiotic topic, and we know that it works against our autophagy, right? What about a fresh bite infection?
Yeah.
Do you believe that we should still seek antibiotics or no?
Yeah, it's I don't have enough data to go against the wishes of the CDC. And when you look at the situation of short term, 12 to 20 days or up to 30 days of doxycycline or a penicillin derivative, I don't think that's unreasonable because at that point, the bacteria are coursing through the bloodstream. They're much more available. And if you can cut down on the numbers of bacteria and help your immune system out, I don't have a problem with that. Personally, I would recommend that anybody that does that, if they get an acute tick bite, but you have to understand that. The CDC recommendations are antibiotics after a tick bite if you become symptomatic. If you become symptomatic,
Yeah.
right? So what I've speculated is I think most people don't become symptomatic. I mean, all the people that I've talked to, I think this thing of chronic, of acute Lyme disease, of somebody getting really sick is unusual. In cases where that happens, I've talked to people that it has happened, and they are either usually in poor health when they started, so they were vulnerable, or they got huge loads of bacteria, like the person that came out of the woods and said, I came out of the woods through brush and I picked hundreds of ticks off of me for a week or two. They got an enormous load of bacteria. And so, they really did need antibiotic therapy, but they also needed to cover it with herbal therapy and a lot of things beyond that. So I think the initial acute antibiotic recommendations are important. But there's another one. There's another reason. And that is Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So when you look at Rickettsia, the bacteria associated with Rocky Mountain spotted fever, it's not any more aggressive than Borrelia. It grows pretty slowly too, but different bacteria invade different cells. And the problem with Rickettsia is it invades cells that line our small arteries, our small blood vessels. And that can cause constriction that not only causes the spotted rash, it also can cause people to lose fingers or have infarcts of their organs. So that reason alone is enough to take antibiotics just because of that potential thing happening. That being said, I've talked to so many people that are carrying the Rickettsia bacteria, and they say, "Well, I'm carrying Rocky Mountain spotted fever." And I said, "Well, no, you don't have any symptoms. You didn't have any symptoms of that. You're carrying the bacteria, but you didn't get the disease." And that sounds pretty, it's pretty common. So it operates very much like the others. But all these bacteria invade different cells, and that can cause different manifestations. So I think that's so, in a nutshell, these things are slow growing. They can be present in the body without causing illness. They invade and they have this insurance of invading tissues, and they have the potential of going dormant, which can mean that somebody can have them in their body for a long time before they reactivate. And stress, impaired autophagy, is usually the trigger for that.
Wow, that is so fascinating because, dare I say this, it kind of sounds like a really simple process, right? If all we need to do is boost our autophagy up.
Yeah, it does get to that. Yeah. So it's yeah,
This is for
it's
sure a light bulb
cellular
moment,
health
right?
is cellular health is central to all of this. And and part of that is suppressing the microbes because they're driving the cellular stress that's impairing the autophagy and driving down the mitochondria, and so it becomes this vicious cycle. So suppressing the microbes has to be part of that. And as we get into talking about the program, I found that it's important to stage that recovery, because in the early stages we were just throwing herbal protocols at people, and about half of people did really well with it, but about half of people, their body just wasn't in a position to tolerate it. So we felt like people just needed a lot more structure, and that's how it came to be. But that idea of cellular stress, impaired autophagy, mitochondrial dysfunction being central to the equation, and if you're doing things that are impairing that, you're really working yourself against your problem. So this idea of creating an environment that promotes, restores autophagy, and autophagy, that cellular recovery process, that's the core of healing. So we're creating an environment that promotes healing. And that's essential, and that's what most programs are actually missing.
Yeah, and like we talked earlier, Dr. Rawls, our bodies have been, for many of us, really strong and functioning with this bacteria inside of us laying dormant without us even knowing. So all of this truly does make sense. Something in our body broke down for numerous reasons, right? And allowed these pathogens to just take over our body and make us ill. And so if you go back to just the foundation of rebuilding your foundation up, then your body is just going to, whether they're there or not, right? It's not going to have a reaction to them.
Correct.
And it makes sense. I've thought this all along, but it sounds like now so much of this is based on the impaired autophagy.
And that's what's missing. I mean, everybody is looking for a quick fix. Walk in an office, plug in an IV, hit me with something,
We get desperate.
SOT,
We get
Fives
desperate.
therapy, whatever the soup du jour it might be this week, and that's going to fix me. And everybody wants that. I would have wanted that. But the fact of the matter is, you have to rebuild your body from the inside, starting at the cellular level. And that's the only way to really get well. And it is slow. It can take months or even years to get there. But it puts you in a place of that you're not chasing things anymore, that you're not, I mean, I still have faith in the conventional medical system for what I need it for, and I don't use it for things that I know that it's not going to serve my needs. And I think that's
And
really important to
I was
understand.
just
When
going
you
to
get to the
say,
point where you understand what the conventional medical system is really designed to do, and you take care of your health so that you need it, you use it for what it's designed to do, then you're going to get a better response from
And I think that's so important because, yes, there's always a bad apple in the bunch, right? There just is. But many of us have, that go through this journey, we have these thoughts, and I was the same way, that these traditional doctors and hospitals and all of this, like, they're the devil, right? And I think that a lot of that comes out of fear and frustration. There absolutely is a time and place for this conventional medicine, and oftentimes we cannot blame them because, like you said, it's designed and was set up for acute things, right? It is not designed to dissect our body and figure out what is going on inside the body, what the root cause of it is. That's just not what it was designed for. And so
It's true.
there's that fine line between, what it's for, and you can't, and I was trying to think of a quick analogy on, you can't go to a mechanic to help you with your internet. You know what I mean? Like and so it makes sense, but it is hard for us that are struggling and we're really frustrated to just really get so angry at the medical community because of what we go through. But we do need to stop and realize that that's not what they were for. They didn't get books and books on chronic illness and Lyme bacteria going through their journey. They didn't even get books on diet, and that's not their job. Their job is for acute issues.
Well, there's a devil in the system, but it's not the providers. Most everybody that goes into medicine, whether it's a doctor, a PA, a nurse, anybody else, they go in it with good intentions. But our system has changed a lot. I've seen so much change over my 4 years that virtually all hospitals, medical practices, et cetera, are owned by large corporations, and all of them have switched from a service model to a revenue generating model. And physicians now are trained on very, very strict protocols that are specific to drug therapies. I had a lot of wiggle room. I did a lot of things that weren't necessarily the perfect guidelines, but it was the best thing for my patient, and it was understood that was okay. That everything isn't always cut and dry, and sometimes you do have to do just the thing that's right for that situation. providers don't really have that ability anymore. They pretty much are following protocols that are very, very limited to pharmaceutical therapy and medical procedures because that's what drives the revenues.
It's all
And
scripted, right?
they get really frustrated with it too,
I'm sure.
because they are driven to Purdue to see more patients. I mean, an average primary care provider sees 35, 45 patients in a day? I mean, really, come on. I used to see 15 or 20,
Yeah.
and I felt
Yeah.
like I was not giving people the time that I wanted to give.
Yeah, no,
So,
you're lucky to
yeah.
get 5 minutes anymore. It is
That's
crazy. But
right.
again, you
So,
know.
but it's not their fault. And I think that's important. We need to change the system. But part of changing the system is taking care of yourself so you don't need the system as much. So,
That's the thing right there, right? Take care
that's
of your
really
body so
important.
you don't need that system. Love
Correct.
that. Yeah. Well, this is so exciting because, I mean, you know, you have, when did you release your book on cellular health? How long has it been? It's been a little bit.
I guess about 3 years
Has it been
since
three? I was going to
we
say
put
a
it
year and a
out.
half. Okay.
Time
So,
flies,
right? It does.
and I was immersed in autophagy, but I just wasn't sure that people were ready for it. And I'm hearing enough about it
We're
now,
ready, Dr. Rawls.
and
We
I'm
are so ready for
pulling,
the easier
and it's
fixes.
just every now and then you come to upon one thing that pulls everything together, and it really does a nice job of that. So for weeks I've been researching all the different things that do or don't. And I use the word autophagy booster and autophagy disruptor.
Okay.
And I think like if you go to your favorite AI and go, what inhibits autophagy, or does so and so inhibit autophagy, or does it stimulate? So using the right words are important. And
The
I've spent a lot of
booster or
time
disruptor.
figuring this out. So if you go in and say, well, do antibiotics stimulate autophagy? The answer is yes, it does stimulate autophagy. Toxic substances stimulate autophagy. And it's because these substances are destroying the cell. So the cell is driving to rebuild itself, but it's a destructive process. So if you phrase that your search, does it disrupt autophagy? The answer is yes, because it's a destructive process. So I really define what's destructive, what's not destructive. So we want things that are not destructive, that are repair oriented, that's restoring the ability of the cell to take care of itself. And here we're not talking about one type of cell, we're talking about every cell in the body. That's the interesting thing. I mean, if you look at toxic substances of any kind, or stress, or bad food, they're not affecting one cell type in the body. They're affecting everything in the body. And that's what's driving chronic illness. Chronic illness is not sickness of one cell type. It's sickness of all the cells in the body. And that can vary. We have a lot of different chronic illnesses with different symptoms. I think part of that is genetic susceptibility to certain stress factors, but I'm coming around to thinking that a whole lot of it is which microbes you pick up in life, because different microbes infect different cells, and when they reactivate, you can get very different symptoms. It's like every person with chronic Lyme is a little different than other people. It's because we all have a different spread of stuff we've picked up.
Yes, no, and that is true. And we think that, you know, that's one of the things that make it so confusing is that we can't really base things off of symptoms because we all react differently. We all have different symptoms. You know, I hear people say, okay, I tested really high for A, B, and C, but I don't have any symptoms that line up with it. I don't think that we could list all the millions of symptoms that could possibly come from something because we're so different. So then that brings me to the next thing is we always say there's not, you know, not one treatment protocol that works for everyone. And that is also a frustrating part. But it sounds like that this might be an answer. Because
This
we all
new
have
thing that we've
cells, they all
developed,
work the
yeah,
same way,
this was
right?
a several year journey of getting here and a year's hard work of putting it in place. And so it's been in place for 1 year now. And instead of just a package of supplements with support or just brain retraining or just, a facet, it's everything all together. And so it's a 6 month program. We found that that's the minimum to just put somebody in that place that they understand how to promote healing in the body and get that going. And not to say everybody's going to be well in 6 months. I don't think most people are, but I want people in this after at that 6 month mark to know exactly what they need to do to move forward, that they're not dependent on a provider or some other person. They are the boss. They understand. So we divided it into three phases. So when everybody comes into this thing, their body's in total turmoil. They've got reactivation of microbes. Their cells are in distress. All those cells are sending distress signals to the brain. They're in high fight or flight. And what that is high cortisol and high adrenaline. Well, when you look at the biggest autophagy disruptors that you can do, it's high cortisol and high adrenaline. So it's driving that cellular distress. It's actually worsening it. It's preventing the body from doing what it needs to do, which is repair and heal. So keeping your body in fight or flight, you have to get out of that. And so the first phase is really devoted toward cultivating a pathway that moves you beyond that fight or flight, that calms it down in your system. We start people off on a regimen of herbs containing ashwagandha, some calming herbs, L-theanine, because ashwagandha is known to help bring down cortisol, really important, promotes autophagy in a lot of other ways. That's another thing about the herbs. Every herb promotes boost autophagy in a variety of ways. Every herb. So it's
That's
an
amazing.
autophagy booster. It's a big one. But at the same time, we start people on a low-level tincture of cryptolepis and some other herbs that we know are well tolerated that do hit some of those big players like Borrelia, Bartonella, and Babesia, just to get a foot in the door. We found when we used really strong herbal extracts in the beginning, a lot of people didn't tolerate it. Their gut was a wreck. They were in high fight or flight. Then a lot of them had mast cell activation, which is driven by that high fight or flight. So a lot of people couldn't take it. So we started out something that's well tolerated. Give them just a complement of vitamins, glutathione, other kinds of things to help build their system and carry them through a stepwise process. So we bring them into a community called Vital Plan Network that is a curated closed space. So we used to have a social media group on Facebook. But it was open and we couldn't control it. Facebook controlled it. So having this community as it closed, we control it. It's moderated. We have people that are ch so people can talk to each other and people can talk to people that are well beyond where they are in the program and get feedback. So it's a lot of people helping other people, but it's moderated. So it's not about just complaining about symptoms. It's like we're here to help you get over the symptoms and move forward. That's the purpose. But also in this network, we have lessons and content that for each phase, I built out 10 lessons. That they're like 5 minutes a piece, and it just gives you everything you need to know in little bites. But along with that, there's a resource library that I built that answers virtually every question that you can ask, including What do you do about a healthcare provider? How do you go out finding somebody that's reputable and not get burned? So it's a resource to help you not necessarily replace a provider, but have a better relationship with a provider. So there's a lot of stuff in there. And so that, they go through phase one and there are lessons that are, it's not a burden, it's pretty easy. But we also, you get a, you with each phase, you get a session with a health coach, and then there are group coach, health coaching sessions with working with three people that I have worked with for a decade. They really know their stuff. I've worked with them very, very closely. And they just guide people through this step of changing how they're going about life and how they're trying to solve their problem, which is really valuable.
Yes, very much so. That sounds incredible. So when you mentioned in this phase one, different supplements to support your body, is this all included in everything? Like you provide all of this in kind of a one-stop
We
shop?
try to make it as inclusive as we can. Everything that we think people really truly need is in there, and it, and it changes too. So you move into phase two, you've calmed that sympathetic overactivity, you've started restoring vagal tone. That you have to do before you can work on detoxification and gut. Everybody thinks it's mainly food that causes gut issues. It's mainly sympathetic overactivity. That's what causes the bacterial overgrowth and everything, because sympathetic overactivity shuts the gut down. And if you shut gut motility down, everything gets backed up. You get reflux and stomach irritation. But if you don't move things through, bacteria keep growing, so you have bacterial overgrowth. So the first step is calming sympathetic overactivity, calming that fight or flight. And then, so as we move into phase two, the supplements shift a little bit. And then we start working on a gut, a diet that I've been using for a decade and refining for a decade. One of our health coaches was a chef, is a chef, and helped me build it. So it's really, it's very, very user friendly. And you get in there, and all the people that you're in going through the program with, they're posting recipes and sharing things. So it becomes a community effort, which is really nice.
Love that.
And then we start working on detox, and not only detoxifying your body, which is really about just getting things moving again, but it's also detoxing your environment so you're not loading yourself up, and all that's important. So these stages really, really work, and each stage has its own set of lessons and information to follow. So it's well curated.
That is amazing. And I love that your phase one is the whole nervous system. We've got to get out of that fight and flight mode, fight or flight mode. And so many people don't understand the importance of that. I mean, I shout many things from the rooftops, but this is one of them that I do, is because it's so important and people don't understand. There's also many, free things that we can do at home, to help our nervous system. And I know sometimes they sound silly, but our bodies are amazing, right? We just need to give them the right tools. And it really is so important. So I love hearing how important, high up on the list, you put our nervous system as well, because it is key. It is key.
It really is. It's critical. I mean, I still think, starting out with the herbal tincture to suppress the microbes is important. And I think
Yes.
that's one of the things that's missing in a lot of brain retraining programs. And we have like the basic structure of brain retraining built into this. So it really covers a lot of things in one place.
Right. And I
So
love that you are doing it at a slower rate on, in the phase one, just throwing small things, because I don't know if you've noticed, like I have in the last, I don't know, I want to say maybe 3 years, more and more people being so overly sensitive to anything that they take. I didn't hear this so much several years ago as I hear it now, that they're just they can't tolerate anything. You know, they do one drop of a tincture and they fall apart
So
for lack of a better
why do you think
word.
that is?
I would say our nervous system.
Yeah, and what are the
That's what
things that
I
are
think.
right?
Is it right?
It is our nervous system, specifically our nerves cells are very sensitive to toxic substances and stress. You look at how we're going about life. What's new? Social media, it's only been around for 10, 20 years, that's it. But we've got so many other things going on in our life. And the good news is you can learn to shield yourself from all of these things, and that's what this program is about. So even if you don't have chronic Lyme disease, it will help you in any regard. So when I was born, there were 3 billion people on the planet, and most of them didn't drive cars. We have 8 billion people on the planet, 2 billion cars, and all the energy that it takes to feed, clothe, and entertain those people. And now we're building these huge power centers for AI. So we're using energy like never before. Most of it is coming from petroleum. And so we have petroleum residues that have become everywhere. I mean, it's just really infiltrated the entire environment. And all of these things, a lot of these things, all the pesticides and herbicides you hear about, they're from petroleum. Pharmaceuticals, 99% of pharmaceuticals are made from petroleum chemicals. 99%. Most of the stuff you get at a pharmacy, petroleum. All those products, skincare products, petroleum.
You know, and it's
It's
crazy because
all there, and and we have and then just the stress-inducing part of our lives. And not to say you need to give up your cell phone. I mean, I use my cell phone every day, but I also try to use it smartly. All the devices, all the things that we just seem to be attached to, and the chemicals that we're exposed to, and how our life is driven, it's setting us up for failure. And we have to learn to live differently. We have to learn to live within the margins of how our genes were set. We're just not built for these kinds of stress factors. But that's the good news. You can, you can eat good food. And the good news is, good food is more available before than ever before in our history. You couldn't get like fancy lettuces and all the vegetables and all the things that I eat on a daily basis. They weren't really available when I was born in a grocery store. They're just, you got what was seasonally available. All that stuff is available.
Oh, okay. I wasn't following you for a second. I'm like, wait a minute, where's he going? I'm not sure I believe this. Okay. Yes,
Yeah,
exactly what
where
you're
we
saying.
can get
Yes.
really, really good vegetables, and but you just have to make the choice to eat
Things are
those things, to eat whole foods. You
right.
can run air filters, well-designed air filters that clean your air, and you can choose to live in a place where the air is healthier. You can choose to, make sure you get 8 hours of sleep a night and do yoga and relaxation techniques. You can choose to be physically active. And you can choose to take herbs, which is probably the best thing that you can do. So it gets back to that autophagy thing. So chronic stress, high cortisol is a terrible autophagy disruptor. Petroleum-derived chemicals, including herbicides, pesticides, plastics, what comes out of the tailpipe of the car, everything else, are horrible autophagy disruptors. Not sleeping and chronic stress, that's huge. The food we eat, processed food diet, disrupt autophagy. Being sedentary disrupts autophagy. And the microbes, they do too, but they just are waiting to have the advantage to do it because they want to use autophagy to break down your cells. And so what we're talking about here is a autophagy restoration program that restores cellular health. And that is the key. It's not pumping in an IV and doing all these different things that provide short-term and transient benefits. It's about rebuilding your body again from the cellular level up to be something that is resilient, that you can grab health and hold on to it for the rest of your life. Yeah. So that's
And
what the last
that right
phase is
there
about, is really
is
doubling
key.
down on cellular health and controlling these microbes. And again, you're not going to clear the things that might be buried in your tissues. What you want to do is clear anything active and restore your body's ability to control those things so you can go about having a healthy life. And that's really the bottom line in all of this. And these are the things that matter most. And what I see is people aren't there, they're chasing cures and not doing the things that matter the very most.
Right. And what happens with that is your wheels are spinning, right? But also, we're desperate to get well. But if we don't make the changes necessary, right, then you're doing all of this work to have a traumatic event happen to get sick again.
It's by the time you see this, there will be something posted on my website, RawlsMD, that you can look at things and look at, well, what are the things that boost autophagy and what are the things that are disrupting autophagy? And yeah, I would recommend staying away from the disruptors because they're not going to get you where you need to be.
Right. Well, this sounds like an incredible plan that you have. So it's the three phases, correct? Okay. And when you talk about your Vital Plan network, is this included? Is that network for anybody and
Yeah,
everybody, or is
it's a
that a
whole
network for
package.
people that buy into this Vital Plan?
Right. We want to share and give everyone a look at things. So the network has two parts. It has a free part that anybody can join, and and we're constantly having events and things that just help people learn. And then there's the more in-depth premium part of the network that is part of the full program with the products and everything else. And that contains the lessons and the re and the resource
All the
library
support and
and
everything.
all of the other, more extensive support, the health coaching and all the things that come with it. It's quite a deal. I mean, for what people end up paying for that. I know that it saves them lots of money in the long run because they make better choices and they don't throw money at things that ultimately aren't going to help them. And so that's very important. So it's an education. The education alone is valuable because you just learn so much about what you truly need to do.
It sure is, and that's why I think there's a lot of talk about people want like a one-stop center. Can I just go and live somewhere, to get the good food and reduce the toxicities and, all this stuff, because it really is kind of a full circle, right? It's not just one or two things. And it sounds like your program offers all of those resources that we need. Yes, we can do research on our own, but when we're sick and frustrated and overwhelmed and have Lyme brain, it's just too hard. I mean, it is simply just too hard. We have to preserve our energy, right? And stuff like that, researching. I'm a huge advocate about telling people to be their own advocate, but there's kind of a fine line, right? We want to be our own advocate, but having these resources at our fingertips can truly be an incredible resource to go along with this journey to get the full picture, to get the full healing, so that we don't have to worry in a year from now after we're well, like what is going to tip me over again? right? We
Right.
have to
Yeah.
learn the foundational things, and that's being your own advocate. It's taking in these resources that are available to you, doing what resonates with you, working through the processes, and making changes.
Yeah,
Making
yeah.
changes are huge.
Well, it's making the changes doable too. You know, when it's
Yes, and not
something that you do in
overwhelming.
a
Baby
stepwise
steps.
fashion, that there are people to, support you along that journey, I think it's really important. And this program isn't meant to replace a healthcare provider, but it is meant to help you to guide to make better healthcare choices, so that it becomes a win-win situation. So you move through faster. So you become your own guide, and so that you really know what you need to do and how to do it and how to move forward.
Yeah, I love it. So, okay, let's kind of summarize this. So, we've got the Vital Plan Restore 180. So, it's a 6-month program.
Right.
And when you get involved with this program, you have that Vital Plan network with all the resources. You go through the three phases. It compiles the products and the stuff that you need to take, whether it's the herbs or the supplements. It's all included. Each month is different. You have the three different phases. So after 6 months, what happens? I know that you had mentioned earlier that, many people may really see that needle moved in 6 months, right? That doesn't mean it's a full end all be all. But what happens after 6 months? Can people rebuy into the program? Are they out of this premium network thing that they were in for those 6 months? Can you explain kind of how that process works?
You graduate and then you start
You
giving
have to
back.
leave?
You graduate, but no, you are still part of the network. And you can still come back in and help other people, And a lot of people need that. They need it,
Yes.
reinforces what they're doing. So you're still on the journey, but you can come back in the network and make comments. And we have a lot of people that do. That have been part of this thing for years. And so, in my case, I took herbal medicine very intensely for about 4 or 5 years before I completely got well. But I've been continuing it for 15 years since then. So I've been on herbal therapy for about 20 years. I take the herbs because when, just studying the herbs and their cellular protection properties, and the fact that all of your herbs are boosting autophagy, really important. But they're also anti-cancer, they're antimicrobial. So when you look at something to keep you healthy for your entire life, to not only, slow down the process of aging, but reduce the chances of developing other kinds of health adversities, it's really central to that. And there's a lot of value there that I think we ought to all be paying attention to in our culture, because here you have something that all these extraordinary properties that have now been well documented by science for a very low potential for harm. Why aren't we not doing it? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right. And
And
I think, like I said, I've been well for 5 years. I don't treat, but I do take some antimicrobials, right? I take things to continue to support my body. I went through breast cancer, and of course, I didn't want to take the 10-year pharmaceutical that they tried
right.
to shove down my throat, right?
Yeah.
And so you have these thoughts of what can I do to support my body to keep cancer away and all the things. So yes, it's a way to support our foundation.
Yeah, when you look at the connections between these stealth microbes, again, of which Borrelia is one of many, I'm starting to see a lot of connections to cancers, to other chronic illnesses, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, dementia, all of these different illnesses. And I have a theory that ultimately we're going to find that all chronic illnesses are tied to these stealth microbes. And then you look at the antimicrobial, adaptogenic, anti-cancer properties of virtually all of the herbs that we're talking about. And yeah, the benefits are pretty extraordinary. It gets back to autophagy. Just do that one thing. Does it disrupt autophagy or does it boost
Or boost
autophagy?
it. Keywords,
So, whole
boost or
food diet,
disruptor.
boost autophagy. High vegetables, boost autophagy. Clean environment, boost autophagy. Good sleep, boost autophagy. Herbal therapy, just about every herb, boost autophagy. Antibiotics, disrupt. Pharmaceuticals, disrupt. A lot of therapies that people are doing, chelation therapy, disrupts. It's
Cortisol, high cortisol disrupts
cortisol, high cortisol, it's a big disruptor.
adrenaline.
So all of these things are really important for bringing your body back in rhythm, to bring your cells back to where they need to be to keep you healthy for the rest of your life.
I love it. Oh, this is so exciting. I'm really excited that I got in right at the tail end of or the beginning, I should say, of the light bulb of the autophagy. Like, this is just incredible. I'm loving all of this. So
Well, again, it's not new. It just is a way that I've found to pull everything that I've been talking about together to make it a little bit
it's more
easier for everyone.
simplified for us, right?
Right.
It's more simplified for us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so now what I'm sure many listeners are waiting for is for the other shoe to drop. So, can we talk about pricing? What does your Restore 180, I guess the 6 month protocol, how does that work? Do people buy into it for 6 months? Can they pay every month and get their shipment of what they need? How does that break down?
When you look at the price of the entire program and all the supplements and everything else, it's pretty reasonable. A lot of people buy in initially on a discount that they've seen a webinar or something like that. That it's typically around 260 or so, and that price fluctuate a little bit as they go through the program, but it's never over $300 a month, and for that 6 month. And
So
so
for a
it's
few
a
hundred
pretty
dollars,
reasonable
give
deal.
or take a little bit, to 300-ish each month, you are getting the herbs, the supplements, everything you need, the access to the network with all the
Support,
resources, the
everything.
coaching, the everything for a few hundred dollars a month. Sold.
It's a pretty
That's
good deal. I
amazing.
mean, we've put a lot of energy into, I mean, basically we work very, very, very hard to complete this program and make the program free. I mean, that's what it boils down to. People are getting this robust program for basically the cost of the products.
That's and that's one of the reasons why I just truly admire you as a doctor, is because I feel that your heart is where it's where it is, because you've been through this journey, right? I think it makes a huge difference when you're working with somebody that has not been through this chronic Lyme journey, because it truly is a nightmare from hell, right? Like, it just is. It doesn't need to be. There are so many things that are
No.
evolving, and things like programs that you have, Dr. Rawls, that are making things easier and more precise and more clear on paths and ways that we can regain our health. And so I'm just so thankful for you and all the work that you've done.
It's a great place to start. I don't think anybody goes through the program and regrets going through the process. And And it's they learn so much, they gain so much confidence. I mean, it's just pretty extraordinary to make all this happen.
Yes, and confidence, right? Like that is so important because we are our thoughts, we are our words, we are things that we say, right? And when we have no confidence, your mindset is completely down. We're working against us. And so it's
For sure.
important to feel confident in your own health journey. And that's, you know, one of the things I stress so much is I want you to become confident and I want you to feel confident to be your own advocate because those terms in our brain are shaping truly what's happening in our body. So it's so important.
For sure.
Well, Dr. Rawls, as always, listeners, I will have the links to everything that we talked about. I'll have how you can join the Vital Plan Network, the free side of it, as well as the Restore 180 protocol. Everything that we talked about will be broken down and listed in the description of this episode. And Dr. Rawls, thank you again. I know it won't be long
Always a
until I'll be
pleasure.
calling you back, but I appreciate you so much.
Oh, well, thank you again for the opportunity. And I'll always have good things to talk about.
I love it. Thank you so much.